It's time now for the message of God's grace, sponsored by the Devonshire Baptist Church, 6744 Viewway Drive in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Good morning, and thanks so much for joining us on The Wonderful Grace of Jesus, the radio broadcast at Devonshire Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." This is the message that we'd like to bring to you this morning, reminding ourselves of God's wonderful grace and how God offers to each one the opportunity of receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. As we look forward to our time together this morning in God's Word, in the encouragement of godly music, I trust the broadcast will be a great blessing to your heart. We begin today with a song entitled "Love Divine" by Ambassador Baptist College in Lattimore, North Carolina.
Love divine, oh sing the wondrous story.
The divine love of God that sent His Son to a lost, sinful world to provide salvation for man. Only God could provide the perfect sacrifice that would provide genuine satisfaction for the penalty of sin. This is Pastor Glenn Stevenson, and I would like to remind you about the ministry of Devonshire Baptist Church. We're located here in Charlotte at 6744 Viewway Drive. That's right near the intersection of Harris Boulevard and Plaza Road, one block from Devonshire Elementary School. we would count it a privilege to have you come and visit with us. Our service tomorrow begins with Sunday school at 9:45 and our morning service at 11 o'clock. We have an evening service at 6:30 p.m. We also have a Wednesday night service every week here at Devonshire Baptist Church, and it's also at 6:30 p.m. Devonshire Baptist Church is an independent, fundamental Baptist church that enjoys serving the Lord, preaching the Word, and giving the gospel to a lost and dying world. This morning, our theme for the broadcast is God's unconditional love. Romans 5:8 reminds us, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God did not focus on our unworthiness, but extended His love to us, quote, "while we were yet sinners," unquote. Christ showed us His unconditional love in giving His life so that we, by faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, could have eternal life. We must recognize, though, that God's unconditional love does not give man a license to sin or to think that God will ignore his sin. It is from God's Word that we have our foundation of truth and not in man's perceptions. One of the most important verses in all the Word of God is found in John 3:16. That verse opens up with, "For God so loved," the great love of God, that He extended His love to you and to me in sending His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. What a simplistic thought, that by simple faith and trust in Jesus Christ our Savior, repenting of our sin, a person can have eternal life in heaven. But that thought of love and of God's love can also be a great misconception. We find in the Word of God statements regarding God and His love, and the fact that His love is unconditional. That thought of the unconditional love of God has also led to many great misconceptions. The word unconditional means absolute, unreserved, not limited by any conditions. Yet when we think of the love of God, some interpret that is that God will allow me to do whatever I want to, and I can get away with it. The unconditional love of God, as we'll look at this morning, shows us how great God's love is, and that He will love us, no matter what. But that does not mean that in His love, He will not judge sin, or that He will not allow consequences into our lives because of our sin. The Bible tells in the book of Hebrews, "For we know Him that has said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge His people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." His unconditional love does not mitigate our need to repent and trust Christ as our personal Savior. God's unconditional love does not limit His judgment of sin. Unconditional love does not mean that all have salvation. God loves the world. But to have salvation, man must come God's way of salvation by repenting of his sin and placing his faith and trust in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Notice from the Word of God, God's unconditional love expressed. We see it to Israel. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31, "At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." This love that God expressed to Israel. As I read through my Bible and I see God's love of Israel and then His correction of them, and yet as they repent and they come back to Him, His desire is still to bless them. Does He judge their sin? Yes. But does He also want to bring them back to Himself? And the answer is yes. Again, when some would say, if God really loved me, then He would, and look at some action that they feel that God should fulfill. or they see something bad that happens in the world, or someone who passes away, and they say, how could a loving God allow this to happen? The reality is a loving God gives us His guidance and His direction. He gives us His word to direct us, but yet He also gives man a free will, illustrated in Israel. God's great love for them, chosen people, brought them up out of Egypt, established them as a nation. But notice these examples. In Exodus chapter 34 is the story of Moses going back up into the mountain to receive God's law in the tables of stone. Moses has already seen the first tablets broken when he came down the mountain and saw Israel in sin, and he broke those tablets of stone. But now he's going back up the mountain, and this statement is made regarding God and His forgiveness of Israel and His desire for them to walk in His way. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keepeth mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. Israel sinned. God judged their sin. But yet, with this everlasting love, He had Moses come back up of the mountain and send him down with the tables of stone. God expressed to them His unending and unconditional love of them, not keeping from judgment, but His giving them a way to seek forgiveness and seek restoration. God's unconditional love and unending love is expressed to those who hurt Him. In Hebrews chapter 12, describing the suffering of Christ as He would go to the cross, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In fact, in the book of Luke, in chapter 23, hanging on the cross, Jesus would say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was beaten. His hair was plucked off His cheeks. They spit upon Him. He was mocked. He was whipped. He was lied about and falsely accused. He had a crown of thorns placed on His head, and then He was crucified. Yet God still exhibited His love even to those who hurt Him. We also see God's great love, unconditional love, for the whole world. Not just to the Israelites, not just to those who hurt Him, and He still loved them, but God's love for the world. We've noticed from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is from 1 Timothy 2, the Bible says in verse 4, who will have all men to be saved, and in verse 6, who gave Himself a ransom for all. God's unconditional love for you, for me, that made salvation possible in spite of our sin. We also see God's unconditional and unending love for the Christian. Ephesians chapter 2 reminds us in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. It will tell us in verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. His unconditional love. But it is important to understand, with regards to God's unconditional love, that we beware of the misconceptions. Some would say, and again we've already made reference to it, but that God's unconditional love nullifies or mitigates punishment. In other words, it makes it less or takes it away. Can you imagine going into a courtroom and someone's done some heinous crime? Maybe murdered somebody, maybe harmed somebody physically, and they walk up to the judge and said, Judge, I'm so sorry. I promise I'll never do it again. And the judge would look over and say, you know, I understand your heart and I will forgive you. We're done here. Not guilty. You'd say, wait a minute. Somebody's been hurt. Somebody's been killed. There needs to be punishment. Isn't that often how people approach Christianity, though? I've attended some funerals, and someone who did not know Jesus Christ as their Savior will have passed away. Yet you'll hear the preacher speak, and he'll somehow try to, quote, preach them into heaven, even though they had rejected Christ. A person may have lived a good life. They may have been kind to others, or they may have been one of the worst scoundrels possible. But if they didn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they can't have eternal life. The love of God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sin. But for someone to claim that if God would send someone to hell, that surely would not indicate a God of love. My friend, God is a God of love. He's a righteous God. He must judge sin. And the eternal judgment for sin is in a place called hell that the Bible says burneth with fire forever and ever. It is described as a place where the worm dieth not. It is described as a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. God's not willing that any should perish, the Bible tells us. He's not desirous for someone to spend eternity in hell. But he must punish sin. And a person will either accept Jesus Christ as his payment for sin by repenting of their sin and trusting Christ their Savior, recognizing Jesus took upon himself the sin of the world. But if they reject Christ, then they will be paying for their sin for all eternity in hell. Again, the misconception of love, where people say, well, God loves me unconditionally. Amen. But that doesn't mean that he's not going to judge your sin. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. It's sad to see that some parents will say, well, I love my child too much to correct them. The Bible teaches us the direct opposite, that the person who would hate their child would keep correction from them. As a parent, I want my children to do right. And as they grew up, I need to correct them in love so that they might be what they ought to be, that they might see that there's limits and there's things that are wrong that they should not do. And there's things that are right that they would be blessed for, rewarded for. But people today think they can live any way they want to, and still God will let them into heaven. What lets a person into heaven is the relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we call it salvation, will change a person's heart and life. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In other words, the person's life will change. So this thought that God loves us so much that somehow he will not correct sin, or somehow he'll say, I'll let it go, is not accurate, is not biblical. You might get a warning from a policeman who's pulled you over from speeding. He or she may say to you, don't let it happen again. But my friend, God can't ignore our sin. You see, God's correction reveals his faithfulness. In Psalm 119, King David said in verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. David realized that God's correction of him revealed his faithfulness. We also need to recognize that the choice for God's judgment is ours to make. If we obey him, he will bless us. If we don't submit to him, if we're disobedient to him and we sin, he will have to correct us and bring his judgment. How do I stay away from God's judgment? Stay away from sin. And God's correction as well teaches me. And the psalmist said in Psalm 119:71, it is good for me that I had been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. When I would correct my children, they would learn, this is not right. I don't want you doing that again. I don't want you to lie. I don't want you to take something that's not yours. I don't want you to deceive. I don't want you to hurt your brother. I would correct them because I love them. And I would want to teach my children what is right. And God will correct us. A second misconception of God's unconditional love, not only that it nullifies or mitigates punishment, but the misconception that forgiveness will somehow get us out of punishment. Have you ever heard a child say, after they asked for forgiveness and found out they still would face some punishment, they might say something like this, "Well, I said I was sorry." A genuine heart of forgiveness does not mean that there will be no consequences for sin. The only exception to this is when a person comes to God confessing their sin and asking for salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His consequence of eternity in hell is changed because Jesus paid the price for his sin, and his eternal destination is heaven. Can God show us his mercy? Oh my yes, what a blessing to see that thought of not giving me what I deserve from the word mercy. Can God lessen? Sure. What is he looking for? He's looking for my heart. But this thought that God's unconditional love will somehow withhold correction is false. Now as we close, what is our need? Our need is to love. We need to love our God unconditionally. That's revealed in our obedience to him. John 14:15 says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." God wants us to obey him, and our obedience shows our love for him. God also commands us to love our neighbor unconditionally. But within that loving our neighbor unconditionally, that ought to mean that we have a heart for them and for their spiritual needs. But it also does not mean that I have to accept their sin. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Just because I love someone does not mean that I keep from speaking the truth or stating when what they're doing is sin. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the Bible says, "Withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us." Even for the one who knows Jesus Christ their Savior, I shouldn't be walking in fellowship with them if they're not living right for God. Expose sin in their life, I need to step back, let God work in their life before I resume that close fellowship. In 2 Thessalonians 3, it says in verse 14, "And if any obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." Why? Because we still love them. We may not be able to have fellowship with them because of their sin. Step back and let God do his work in that person's heart and life, but we still need to exhibit a heart of love. My friend, does God have unconditional love? Oh, the answer is yes. But God is also a righteous God that must judge sin. Can I ask you to know Christ as your Savior? If you died today, do you know for certain, based on the Word of God, that you would go to heaven? If not, won't you trust him? God is not willing that any should perish. He wants you to come to him in salvation. But if you reject him, God is left with no choice but in following his righteous judgment must condemn you to an eternity in hell. Won't you trust him? In Christian, God wants us to walk in love as well. He expressed his unconditional love to us. We ought to express our unconditional love to others, and we ought to express our love to him by faithful obedience to the Word of God. Thank you so much for being with us on the broadcast this morning. I'd like to invite you to church tomorrow at Devonshire Baptist Church. Our service begins at 9:45 a.m. with Sunday school, 11 a.m. for the morning service, and 6:30 p.m. for the evening service. We also have a Wednesday evening service, and it's at 6:30 p.m. as well. Well, I trust you have a great day, and we'll look forward to seeing you in church tomorrow. Bye-bye.
For the past half hour, you have been listening to The Wonderful Grace of Jesus with Pastor Glenn Stevenson of the Devonshire Baptist Church. Listen again next week at this same time on WHVN.